Reading down the latter verses of this chapter reminds us that we are engaged in spiritual warfare against sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's nothing new in that. This is something that applies to every born-again child of God, saved by His grace and called to be followers of Christ. And any believer who has the least regard for the things of God will be conscious that it is a warfare that has to be fought on a daily basis. And it goes without saying that it can often become a weariness to the flesh in which we live. But maybe that's because all too often the Christian makes the mistake of thinking that he has to fight this battle either alone or in his own strength. And if that be so, then he's wrong on both counts. It's probably true that every believer would like to be able to get through life with as little opposition as possible. And the thought of conflict with the enemies of the soul is not something we want to be involved in all the time. Or the odd skirmish now and again we have to expect. But nobody wants to be fighting every day he lives. But you know, the truth of the matter is that the Christian life is a daily struggle. Satan never gives up. We face temptation of one kind or another, not just every day, but almost every hour of the day. So it's not something we can ignore. However, one reason why some of God's people shy away from such conflict is that they are very conscious of their own weakness. Some feel ill-equipped to take on the enemy of the soul. And when Satan comes and engages with such subtle tactics as he is known to employ, many don't know how to handle the situation and invariably end up feeling very deflated, if not utterly cast down and in complete defeat altogether. How many get into conversation with some skeptic who wants to run down the gospel? And the believer maybe feels unable to answer the various criticisms that are cast at him and comes away from such confrontation feeling like a wee weak pup with his tail between his legs. And this is not what God has planned for us at all. And there can be no doubt that no matter what we may try to do or be for the Lord, we need strength for the task that is not of ourselves. This is especially so when it comes to fighting the good fight of faith. We sang those words a moment ago, forth to the mighty conflict in His glorious day. But how many are petrified at the prospect? Now you notice here the fact that Paul says, finally, my brethren, verse 10, that immediately links us with what he has said before. What did he say before coming to say finally? Well, if you go back to the beginning of this letter to the church at Ephesus, he talks about walking in the unity of the Spirit. He reminded the people that it wasn't that long ago that they were without Christ and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, chapter 2 and 12. But now in Christ Jesus, he says, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. 2:13. In chapter 3, he expresses the desire that God would cause them to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You have that in 3:16 and 17. In chapter 4, he refers to the perfecting of the saints, the edifying of the body of Christ. And in all these matters, he is careful to include everybody as a body of believers. Underline that. Nowhere does he address any one individual, and he has good reason for that. He's dealing here with the whole body of Christ, the church as a combined unit. Then he moves on to address families in chapter 5, making mention of husbands, wives, children, and servants. And then he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Now we said that he's not addressing any individual here, but the whole assembly of the church. That is the thrust of this exhortation, to be strong in the Lord. I want to take a few moments today to consider this entreaty. As we do, there are three simple things we want to notice. First of all, you have here the challenge presented. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now notice, it doesn't say be strong from the Lord, even though he is the source of all our strength. It doesn't say be strong for the Lord, even though without him we are nothing and can do nothing. And certainly we are exhorted to be strong for the Lord, but not in this instance. He says be strong in the Lord. It means be strong in your relationship with the Lord. It has to do with your own personal fellowship with your Lord and Master, and fellowship as a body of believers. The child of God is not asked to walk this earth alone. You are part of a family. Consider Christ's conquering of Satan and sin. It's the greatest conflict this world has ever seen. It's a war that started way back in the Garden of Eden, and it is set to continue until Christ comes back and puts the devil in his place, the eternal prison house of the lake of fire. Satan is already defeated, of course, and we're just waiting for that final triumph when Christ will come and reign supreme, and sin will be no more. But before we can enter into the joy of that blissful glory state that awaits the redeemed of God, we have to pass through this veil of tears. We have to traverse this battlefield that we know as life on earth. And because of that, no Christian should ever allow himself to feel at home in this world. Not only is this place a foreign country to those who are citizens of the heavenly kingdom, it is also enemy territory. There's a wee song that says, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. And surprising how many of God's people live as if they're here to stay. But this world is not only cursed by the presence of sin and cursed because of sin, it's an environment that is not conducive to our spiritual well-being. We are all in danger of contamination from what we might call the radioactive fallout of satanic influence, wherever he seeks to destroy the souls of men. Satan is no friend to the soul of man, and he must never be treated as a harmless adversary. Make no mistake about it, and especially young people, the devil is out to damn the souls of men and women in hell. And we can never allow ourselves to become complacent about that. Sin is never to be taken lightly or trifled with. And surprise you sometimes just how easily a child of God can dabble in something that is sinful and grieving to the Spirit of God. And we ought to be always on our guard. It's not a light thing. Now, Christ has purchased redemption for his people, and for that we'd be eternally grateful. If he hadn't done so, then we would all be headed for hellfire. Let's never forget that. And because Christ has redeemed us with his own blood, then for anyone to think about courting those worldly sins that God hates is in itself obnoxious, let alone the actual participation in such things. So between his procuring eternal salvation for us and our eventual enjoyment of the benefits of it, there is in the interim period what we call this life. Heaven will be ours one day to enjoy forever. But before we arrive there, we have to get through this wicked wilderness of sin. And as we do, we can't fail to be aware that we are surrounded on every side by the enemies of our souls. because they are the enemies of Christ and of God, which means they are then hell-inspired. Beloved, as a child of God, never forget you're living in enemy territory. No child of God, no person truly born again of the Spirit of God can feel to be conscious of the fact that not only are we enshrouded by sin, but we must make every effort possible to maintain a walk of holiness before God who has saved us, and because of the fact that we are being observed by so great a cloud of witnesses. Salvation is free, in that it isn't to be acquired by payment of any remuneration. But it must never be treated as a light thing. It is not a light thing. You consider what it costs the Lord to procure salvation for you. It is no light matter, and ought not to be treated as such. Mark 13:13 reads, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." And that word endure there, it means to persevere, to show fortitude, stickability. You know, there's something sadly lacking in the person who claims to be saved but who has no willingness to become involved in the great conflict of the ages, where the spoils of war are the souls of men. How many men and women over the centuries have been martyred for the cause of Christ? I'm not big into statistics, but I read somewhere just the other day that in parts of the world it is known there have been as many as 70,000 martyred for Christ in recent times. We're not made aware of these things, mind you. It's never talked about, but it's happening. The Christian life is not a comfort zone where we hide ourselves away from the wrath to come and wait for life just to drift by till we get washed up on heaven's shore. Rather, this life is a battle wherein people get hurt. It's where soldiers are often wounded and some are slain. And if you've never understood your Christian profession to be such as set you in the firing line, then, beloved, with respect, you've missed the plot. That has to be said. Our enemy isn't always visible. He'll not always come out into the open like the sodomite is doing today. Often the adversary is in the form of legislation that is concocted behind closed doors, maybe halfway around the world. And it may be disguised in such flowery language that you don't really suspect a thing. But one thing we do know about our foes is that in ourselves we are no match for such. And so we're convinced that we need supernatural strength. But isn't this why we have the exhortation to be strong in the Lord? The Lord doesn't ask you to fight these battles in your own strength. Never shy away from the conflict, beloved, but pray for grace to stand for the truth. There are environmentalists today who would risk their lives to save a few trees. And how many are willing to stick their neck out for the cause of Christ, even though they're guaranteed a place in heaven for all eternity? Well, the war is ongoing, beloved, and like it or not, we are all part of it. Notice secondly is a word of encouragement. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, Paul speaks, we read on down, he speaks about putting on the whole armor of God. So we're definitely dealing with warfare. Armor is something a soldier wears. But who ever heard of one soldier being sent out to war on his own? Doesn't happen. Soldiers fight as an army. Nobody engages in the conflict except as a company. A company of fighting men brought together for that purpose. They train together. They march together. They fight together. And that's the duty of the church. Beloved, if you're discouraged these days because of the extent of the conflict, well, maybe it's because you've left the ranks or you're trying to go it alone. That's a mistake. Here is a call to arms for the whole body of the church. There's an old saying, united we stand, divided we fall. It's very applicable here. If ever there was an exhortation for the church to unite in prayer, you have it in these words. Stand together. Don't ever think that you'll do better on your own. You won't. You need to join the ranks. The work is made up of team members. And we must work as a team. There's no such thing as a one-man ministry. We're all in this together. That is, those who are the Lord's people. We belong to the spiritual realm. We have to face spiritual foes as well as natural ones. But again, we're not to face them alone. Remember, this letter is written to the church, not to an individual. Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. But notice where he begins his writing. We saw in our introduction how he begins with life in the home. He deals in these chapters with the family first. And beloved, don't miss this. Paul is saying that the Christian must attend to matters of the home first before he can be effective in the church. If he's not strong for the Lord in his own home, he'll not be any use in the church. If he can't overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil in his own home, he'll never be able to contend for God outside the home. He will not become a pillar of the church. But again, let's reiterate those words, in the Lord. In John 15, 4-6, the Lord Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. If the Christian's fellowship with the Lord is broken for any reason, he becomes a strengthless, fruitless, and sadly useless servant. Be strong in the Lord. It means see to it that you maintain a strong relationship with the Lord. You can't go home from church on a Sunday morning and put God in a pigeonhole to lie there till next Sunday. There has to be daily communion with him. He must be a part of everything you do, all day, every day. Whatever your job, your school, or whatever your circumstances in life, you do what you have to do as unto the Lord. Where is your physical strength? Usually in the arm, isn't it? What sort of function do you suppose your arm could perform if you had it detached from the rest of your body? It wouldn't be much use on its own. Don't imagine it could be used to its full potential if it's not joined to the body. In the same manner, you can't be strong in the Lord unless you're united, joined to him constantly. You've got to be in touch by active and constant experience. If you're not, then you'll have no strength for any conflict. Hence the need for continual prayer and continual fellowship with other believers. Consider the soldier going to war. We've seen pictures, I'm sure, of men heading out to places like Iraq, Afghanistan. They have a lot of gear to carry. Kit bag, with various supplies in it, sleeping bag, protective clothing, and of course a weapon. Their tour of duty is not going to be a picnic. soldier has to train hard. He has to be fit for the long marches, fit for whatever may lie before him. And of course, he has to be prepared for engagement in conflict. But more than anything else, he needs courage, he needs strength, he needs vitality, he needs a brave heart. And you'll notice that these are things that Paul refers to here in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And the word power there means vigor. It means exuberant, resilient strength of both body and mind. Holy boldness is a good term. But holy boldness is something you only acquire by keeping in constant communion with the Lord. If you never seek the Lord in prayer and you're not in daily, even hourly contact with him, then you're going to be very unprepared for any emergency that may arise. The devil comes at you with some temptation or other, and if you're caught off guard, you're much more likely to fall beneath his spell. And I don't doubt, but we've all been there. We've all had that regrettable experience. And somebody comes to you with a difficult question. You may be caught on the hop, not in the right frame of mind to give the right answer. Being strong in the Lord means energized by his grace. It means being fortified in love. Or as A.W. Pink said, to be strong in grace is to be weak in sin. This strength needs to be renewed every day. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Are you waiting on the Lord, beloved? Are you in your place at the prayer meeting? Because that's where you get your strength from. Well, be encouraged. If you're not asked to fight this warfare alone, God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Beloved, if you're a child of God, then pray for more grace to live and fight as a good soldier of the cross. But be part of that army. Don't leave it to the faithful few. You get in there and do your bit for God. Be a part of the church. But notice something else here as we finish. The reason for this call to strength. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now notice that. That ye may be able to stand. God isn't telling us that we must be taking ground for him. Now we often think of fighting the good fight of faith as moving forward, taking territory from the devil. That's what we would like to do. But beloved, that's not what's intimated here. This doesn't say anything about moving forward or taking territory. Every time a soul is saved, we might say that ground has been taken from Satan. Yes, praise the Lord for that. But that's the Lord's work, that's not ours. Here, we're being told to stand. Doesn't say anything about advancing. God has said, I will build my church. That much is true. But again, this is something that God will do. He's the one who adds to the church. All we are asked to do here is to stand. We're to stand for that ground that God has already given us. Hold on to that ground that the Lord has entrusted to you, beloved. Don't let Satan take it from you. That will mean that you're not to draw back. Stand as opposed to fleeing backwards. Yes, I know there is that area of the Lord's work where you have to contend for the faith. But this is an exhortation to standing your ground. In other words, if the Lord has brought you this far, you stand your ground. Don't allow yourself to be drawn back to the old paths, the old life of sin. Don't allow things to move, to drift backwards to what you used to be before the Lord came with a blessing and brought you to where you are now. Stand your ground. If the Lord has given you territory, given you souls in this house, given you a particular blessing in your own life or your family, you hold tight to that. You stand your ground. Don't let anything or anybody take that from you. I think that's what's meant here. And we're very encouraged by what the Lord has been doing over the road in Boyce Mills. New families brought in. Children added to the Sunday school. We praise the Lord for that. But beloved, there's a great danger. If we don't hold on tight to the Lord, we could lose them. We could lose any ground the Lord has given us. And I have to say, any ground that's been made, it was the Lord's doing. We take no credit for anything that's happened. It's God's doing. God is building His church. It's God who kept the door open. It's the Lord who's building up the work. And we're thankful for that. But would you pray with us that the Lord will not let us lose it? Because there's always that danger. You can become complacent. Oh, things is going well here. We needn't bother about the prayer meeting. We can't afford to miss the prayer time. You can't afford to miss your prayer meeting, beloved. God has blessed the work in this house. And we rejoice in the ministry He has given to His servant. But listen, you as a child of God, I say this with the greater respect. I don't know who comes to the prayer meeting, who doesn't. As a child of God, you have a duty to be there with them, to stand together. Otherwise, you risk losing the ground that's been made up. Stand together. Remember the disciples in Gethsemane? The Lord Jesus said, watch and pray. What happened? They all failed to stand with Him in prayer. They fell asleep. And even after He had aroused them, they did it again. They didn't stand. Then they lost ground. Over in 2 Chronicles 20:17, God said to Judah, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, God is quite capable of fighting His corner. Now what we are called to do is resist the enemy. Resist the devil, God says, and he'll flee from you. Words in that opening psalm concerning the man of God, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Did you ever see a tree running about from place to place? Was ever anything more patient? The tree stands. But what's it doing while it stands? Isn't it growing? Aren't its roots into the ground? And if it's near that river, then it is continually by the source of life that the river is to it. All it has to do is continually draw from the supply. But it stands its ground. And there you have a picture of the Christian, or at least what the Christian ought to be. He stands firm on what he knows. He draws from the ever-flowing supply of the grace of God. And the water speaks there of the Holy Spirit without whom we can do nothing. But by daily drawing from His great resources, we are enabled to grow in grace. And the secret is in feeding on that supply. Feeding your soul on Christ. And you find all the strength you need in Him for the battles of life. Why do so many give up? Why do so many lose heart and turn their backs on the work of God? Why do so many soldiers fall and fail? Isn't it because they do not partake of the grace that is available to them? You feeling your weakness, beloved? Maybe you're doing too much running around. When you should be waiting on God. I know. There's always plenty to be done in the Lord's work. But the Lord doesn't expect any one individual to be doing everything. You find what area it is the Lord wants you to be working in, and you work in that area. And concentrate on that. But don't do it in your own strength. feed on him. He's feeling your weakness. We all do. I quoted that verse already, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's a reference to prayer. The place of prayer is where the greatest battles are either won or lost. The disciples in Gethsemane lost their battle because they failed to watch and pray. Ulster was turned upside down in 1859 because men fought and won in the place of prayer. Beloved, if you would be strong, if this body of believers is to be strong, this church is to be strong, then do not fail to wait upon the Lord. Draw your strength from him. Oh, wait together on him. Keep your focus upon Christ. It's sad that too many believers use their energies looking for faults in other people. That's a big mistake. There's none of us perfect. We all make mistakes. If you want a list of mine, I could list them for you. But this much I know. In spite of our mistakes, the Lord still puts up with us. He's pleased to use us. Where do we overcome the mistakes? Place of prayer. Where do you get new strength whenever you're feeling your weakness? You get it in the place of prayer. This is a command from God. Be strong in the Lord. Not in your own strength, but in his. Ask the Lord as we stand at the beginning of another new year. Now here, this is the second Lord's Day already. It feels like Christmas is only yesterday and we're already halfway into January almost. Time's flying. Fleeting by so quickly. Tell me, what have you achieved for the Lord already this year? 2 weeks in? Have you gained anything? Are you closer to the Lord today than you were this time last year? Or did you lose ground in 2018? You know your own heart, beloved. I know all about the devil's opposition. You meet him every day. It becomes a nuisance. But I thank God he's the great overcomer. We had cast all our care upon him. He cares for us. You know, we could go on here and go into a whole lot of other thoughts, but I leave this thought with you, beloved. Here is an exhortation for you as a company of people to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. You notice, if you read on down that chapter, and it lists all the various pieces of armor that the child of God is exhorted to put on, you'll notice there's nothing to cover the back. You have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness to cover the heart. You have the shield of faith. You have that which protects the loins. There's no mention of anything covering the back. Beloved, you keep looking forward. Ask the Lord for fresh vision. To stand your ground, don't lose what the Lord has allowed you to get to thus far. Pray the Lord will advance his church in his way in his time. But make sure you're doing your part of standing your ground, standing by what the Lord has given to you. Hold firm. Hold fast what you have. Don't lose it for anybody or for anything. And may the Lord encourage you to stand for him in these evil days, and having done all, to stand. May the Lord bless these few thoughts today to our hearts, lead us on with himself, and encourage us. Above all, beloved, keep in close touch with your commander in that place of prayer. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's turn in closing, please, to 302. And here you have something of that protection that you need. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. 302, we'll stand together as we sing, please.